Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And these things will be added unto you. He said he would take care of us. We seek first his kingdom. And as we trust him, we obey him, we don't have to worry about our needs. He will supply our needs. Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So if you go to the mission field, if you go to win souls here in America, wherever you win souls, you do what God wants you to do. He will lead you and he will supply your needs. "My God shall supply all your need." And he calls us. "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." And I went out by faith as the Lord called me, and no church sent me, no church or a person or mission promised any support. I just believe what God said in Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Who does that mean? Go ye. Well, I took it to mean me. We need to take God's word as if Jesus was speaking directly to us and go in obedience, trust him. God leads some people to go with a mission board, and he leads others to go as independent missionaries. And of course, all of us are dependent on Jesus one way or the other, and we all trust Jesus to supply our needs. But it's up to us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me." And if we deny ourselves, I wanted to get married first when I went to the United States, before I went to the mission field. I came close to getting married, but it wasn't the right person, and the Lord overruled. So I decided I'd go to Papua New Guinea first as a single man, and I could keep praying for a wife, and then the Lord would, maybe when I served one term on the field and came back on my first furlough to the States, then the Lord would provide a wife for me. So I denied myself and went to Papua New Guinea as a single man, trusting the Lord, praying to the Lord, and believing that the Lord would hear my prayer in his own time and his own way. And I was on the field a year. And Barbara came out to teach in a school for missionary children out there, and I met her. A year later, we were married in Papua New Guinea. I, being in the way the Lord led me, the Lord provided. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Jesus is good. So I came back after my first term on the field with a wife and two children. God is good. Some people have their own goals. We all have our own goals sometimes, and own plans for our occupation and for our personal decisions. We have our own goals about where we want to live and what we want to do, and our occupation, our family. But a missionary can't have his own goals, his own plans. If you're going to be a soul winner, you're going to serve Jesus here in the States or on the mission field, Jesus has to be in control. Jesus has to be in control of our lives. We must surrender our lives to Jesus. We must let Jesus choose the goals for us and the plans for our lives. We can't choose our own goals or have our own plans. It doesn't work. Amos warned about that. Amos warned us about that in chapter 6. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Hosea, Joel. Amos chapter 6, verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. He said, woe to those people. Verse 4, lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches. We're in America. We have everything. We're at ease in Zion. We've got good houses and beds. And eat lambs out of the flock. We buy lamb chops. Good food. And we drink wine in bowls. We drink grape juice. Anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. They're not concerned about people who haven't been saved. We're not concerned about taking the gospel to people who have never heard the gospel. Amos warns us about that. In verse 8, he says, the Lord God hath sworn. Verse 7, therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive. And the Lord hath sworn by himself, saith the Lord God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob. I hate his palaces. I will deliver up the city with all that is therein. Sometimes God is angry. Sometimes he doesn't like it. We have all these material things. But we're not trying to tell the lost people about Jesus. We're not trying to get the gospel to the people who have never heard. Not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. They are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. So we have to let God choose our plans. And we should pray for laborers. Luke 10, 2 and 3. Of course, we should pray for laborers. Luke chapter 10, another verse in Luke, applies to missions. We pray for laborers to go to the mission field. We pray for laborers to win souls here in America. We follow the Jesus and let him make us soul winners. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus will make us fishers of men. We can't make ourselves. He makes people fishers of men. All we have to do is follow him. Follow him. The disciples followed Jesus. They had been fishing all day, all night. They hadn't caught anything. In the morning, Jesus came and stood on the shore, and they came up. Jesus got in the boat, and he said, go out and let down your nets. And they said, Lord, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy will, we'll let down the nets. So they did. They let down the nets. They caught so many fish. Big number of fish. They had to have another boat come and help them bring it in. Jesus showed this great miracle to them to show them that he has power. And he wants them to do something, a greater work than just catch fish. He said, from henceforth you shall catch men. Luke chapter 10. Verse 2. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. The words of Jesus. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. He sends us forth sometimes as lambs among wolves. People aren't very happy that you came to tell them about the gospel. People aren't very willing to listen. They may do things to make it hard for you. And they told me in Papua New Guinea, I was preaching in Yawaro every week, and one week I came down. There were six men with their bows and arrows. I came down the hill on a motorcycle, and they stopped me. They blocked the road, and they said, don't come back here anymore. We don't want you to come back here anymore. Preach. If you come back here again, we'll kill you. Well, I looked at them and I thought, I don't have to be afraid of people. Jesus is with me. I told them, I said, if you kill me, so I'll go to heaven and God will judge you. That's all I said. And they didn't answer. So I got on my motorcycle and going back to town. Next week I came out there. I didn't see any arrows flying. Kept going. Every week I kept going. Nothing ever happened. Except about a few months later, I was coming down the same place. And there was a hill on one side and a tree up here. And here's the road. I was coming down this road. There's a goes down and in the valley down on the other side of the road. I was coming down and this big black something came by my face. Just missed me. And I don't know what it was. It went on down in the valley, and I looked, and somebody was behind a tree. He ran away. And so I turned around, went back up. There's some men. I had seen some men up there sitting by the road, and I went up there and told them. And they took off in the woods there, the trees, and searched, tried to find him. I waited. They came back, and they couldn't find him. So I didn't know. 10 years later, I found out that there was this a man who was retarded. They had thrown it, and I don't know why or what happened, but they probably gave him some money to do it. Probably paid him to do it. But people don't like. They didn't like me teaching the people that only the blood of Jesus could take away their sins. The Lutheran pastor was telling them that they come and pay the pastor two kina, that was about 60 cents, the pastor baptized them, and he takes away their sins. He makes them a Christian. He puts water on their head. So I was telling them that the blood of Jesus is the only thing to take away your sins. And the pastor can't take away your sins. And the mission can't take away your sins. And your good works can't take away your sins. Each person has to ask Jesus to come into his heart. And the Holy Spirit will come inside and wash you with the blood of Jesus. And your sins will be taken away. And you'll be born again. And the pastor, the false teachers who are telling you that the baptism will take away your sins are telling you lies. And so a lot of people came and heard. They believed. And they left the Lutheran false political organization, false business group. It's a business group. It's a political organization. They sit down and drink beer with the government patrol officers that work in that area. And so they have their plantations, their business. They have the Namasu. They have a ship that goes up and down the coast. Carries beer to the stations, tobacco, cigarettes and things. And they're a business group, you see. They're not a mission. They're not God's people. They're not doing God's work. So that's what I tell the people. And tell them the truth. And people don't like the Lutheran political organization business group don't like me telling the truth. So they threatened to kill me. And we can't be afraid of men. We have to continue to do what God tells us to do. Pray for the Lord to send forth laborers. The Lord calls laborers, and He leads them, and He directs them. And He leads soul winners here in America, too. And I don't know anyone. I didn't know anyone in Papua New Guinea. I came out here independent missionary. And I didn't know where I was going. So I got on the boat in Los Angeles. The Lord provided the money, $600 in 1965, to go from Los Angeles to Sydney, Australia, and up to Port Moresby, the capital of Papua New Guinea. On the boat, I met a man from Australia. He'd been to the States to visit his wife. He's married an American lady, and he was going back to Australia. And I told him what I was doing, and he said, "How long are you going to stay in Sydney?" I said, "Well, I have 5 days to wait for my next ship, the China navigation ship from Sydney to Port Moresby." I was on the P&O liner, the Oronsi, Pacific and Orient, British company. Oronsi had a big passenger ship, and this man told me, he said, You have 5 days. Will you come over and stay at my station? I'm just right across the bay, or across Botany Bay from Sydney, over at La Perouse, Aboriginal Mission Station. He was with the Aboriginal Inland Mission in Australia. So I went over there and did dental work for a while and preached. And then New Tribes people asked me to come to their place at in Rudy Hill, in the western part of Sydney. And I went over there for a while and fixed teeth for the New Tribes missionaries. And then time came for me to get on my ship to go. Well, it wasn't quite time for me yet. I was in a Baptist church downtown Sydney one Sunday evening, and the pastor had mentioned that I was there and I was going to Papua New Guinea. And so a man came up to talk to me afterwards. He said, "Where are you going to go? Where are you going to work in Papua New Guinea?" I said, "I don't know. I'm trusting Jesus to lead me. I'm just going on up there by faith. Trust the Lord to lead me." And he was one of the board members of the Unevangelized Fields Mission that had missionaries up in Papua New Guinea. And he said, "Let me contact my missionaries. So he did, and then he got back in touch with me, and he said, they want you to come, and they'll meet you in Port Moresby. And they have 9 stations, and they want you to come. And so they met me, took me out, and next I stayed all night there in their house, and then they flew me the next day out to Daru, Balamo, Waba, in the Western District, out near the Fly River area in Papua New Guinea. And I stayed about a week or two at each of their 9 mission stations and did dental work and preached and did free dental work for the missionaries and national pastors, national Christians. And I was glad to serve them. They took care of my room and board, too. I didn't ask for anything, but they did. And transportation to the next station. So you just believe God, and you just go and trust God to lead you and to guide you. And when I finished, I was near on the last station, finishing work at their ninth station, and they have a radio system. Christian Missionary Radio Fellowship has this frequency. They allow the government give them this frequency for the missionaries to contact each other, and the mission stations that have radios, they can contact other missions in their stations of their own mission, or they can talk to Evangelized Fields Mission, can talk to the South Sea Evangelical Mission, or the Brethren Mission, or any other mission on that same frequency, on their time. Each one has his time, a schedule. So you talk to other missions on your time. And so they told, they had spread the word about me. And so the Brethren Mission in Angugunak up in the Sipi District asked me to come. So I flew up there. They flew me up there too. I stayed there a week. And there was a Brethren Mission from the States. I don't know if it was a Plymouth Brethren or exactly who they were. But then after there, the South Sea Evangelical Mission, they had 7 stations over there, Balif, Brugham, and Wallahuta, and Ilihuta, and Zambatangit, and Pagwe. And I visited each station, stayed a few days or a week, and preached and did dental work. Then I was up, the Australian Baptists invited me up for their stations. I didn't know what I was going to be doing. All these places, I didn't know, but the Lord opened the door each time. So God's ways are perfect. And I work with fundamental, independent, fundamental, separatist missions. I didn't work with the missionaries that are missions that teach baptismal generation, regeneration. They asked me, one group, Church of Christ. I said, no, I can't go. So I didn't work with any of them that teach baptism or regeneration, that baptism is essential to salvation. The Lord calls laborers. He directs them. And he says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Well, I've learned that salvation is by faith, through grace, through faith in the blood of Jesus, not by baptism. So I avoided them. They're coming in unto you, bring not the doctrine of Christ, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that bids him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. That's 2 John 9 through 11. The first verse was Romans 16, 17. And we have to let our light shine. Luke 11 says, let your light shine. Verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thy eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thy eye is evil, thy body is full of darkness. If you live for Jesus, live a holy life, your light will shine. If you refuse to watch TV, they won't like you. But your light will shine. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Psalm 1:3. Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, just, lovely. Think on these things. They won't like you if you don't approve of their Christian rock music. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing with melody in your hearts to the Lord. We should have the right kind of music, not contemporary Christian music. Contemporary Christian music is like trying to take a holy message in a profane vessel. And God likes us to do His work in His way. Use the right kind of music with the message of God. Not the rock music. Not the rock beat. Not the style of music as the world has in their bars and in their nightclubs. That doesn't become holy just because you bring it into church. And God doesn't want it in His church. They won't approve of you. They won't like you if you don't approve of their modified profanity. But the Bible says, swear not at all, Matthew 5. Neither by heaven, nor by the earth, nor by thy head. People say my F-O-O-T or my G-O-S-H or my H-E-A-V-E-N. Instead of God, instead of saying my G-O-D, they use other words that aren't quite so offensive to people. It doesn't sound so much like swearing. But they just modify profanity. It's just modified profanity. It's not so offensive. H-E-C-K instead of H-E-L-L. M-A-N. M-A-N. W-O-W. Those are just modified profanity. They take the place of profanity. All of it should be put in the trash. Just speak the truth kindly with patience. Say whatever your communication is. And make each word that has a meaning significant. You can use it. But if words don't have any meaning, what are you just saying it for? That's just like profanity. The Bible says, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. It comes of evil. You didn't intend it to be. But the Bible says it is. It's more than what you just say, yea, yea, nay, nay. Therefore, it comes of evil. You just say yes or no, or say what you mean to say, and that's all. That's enough. All these things, if you take a stand for Jesus and for His Word, for His standards, the right type of clothes, the right type of speech, and do what God says to do, right type of hair length, and whole body should be full of light. Whole body should be full of light. Your dress, your appearance, do what the Word of God says to do, and your light will shine. If you don't, you won't shine. And another verse is Luke 12:4-5. It says, and I say unto you, my friends, Be not afraid of them that kill the body. And after that, have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom ye shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. That means we should only fear God. We shouldn't be afraid of any man, any woman, any person. There will be people who try to hurt you or kill you if you tell them the gospel. But we have to tell them the gospel. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So we have to tell the gospel. And I told you how they threatened to kill me. I went back there and preached. And people were leaving the false mission. People were hearing the truth. So false teachers didn't like it. And I preached against what they were doing. The people, only the blood of Jesus can save them, take away their sins. So some of these people came, hear me preach and heard the gospel. They called on Jesus. Jesus washed them with his blood. You have to be washed in the blood of Jesus. That's not baptism. If you've been baptized, some people say, oh, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I said, when did that happen? They say, oh, when I was baptized. I say, baptism is not the blood of Jesus. That's water. That won't take away your sins. You didn't get washed in the blood of Jesus when you got baptized. Maybe you believed that you did. You thought you did. Maybe you were taught that you were, did, but you weren't. Only the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit controls the blood of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit has to get the blood of Jesus into your heart. When Jesus died, he took his blood up to heaven and gave it to God. The blood of Jesus is in heaven. It's not under the water of baptism. United Pentecostal Church out in Papua New Guinea, they teach the people that when they go under the, when they baptize under the water, the blood of Jesus is under the water and washes them when they get baptized. They believe that when they're baptized, their sins are washed away. The blood of Jesus is not in the waters of baptism. The blood of Jesus is in heaven. Jesus took it up there. Hebrews chapter 9 is clear. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Christ took our sins into the holy place, to heaven. Presented his blood to God. Christ took his blood to heaven. So if you ask Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come into your heart and wash you with the blood of Jesus. That's something the Holy Spirit does. You ask him. It's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's directly from God, not through some mission or through some ordinance or some work that you do, baptism or communion or the Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper is a symbol. It represents the body. The biscuit represents the crackers represent the body of Jesus, and the grape juice is a picture of the blood of Jesus. But it's neither one are the real body or the real blood of Jesus. And the real body and the real blood of Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is in heaven in a body that has no blood. The Holy Spirit is acts as the blood and does the work that the blood would do. But Jesus' blood is on the altar in heaven. It's not in Jesus' body. And our resurrection bodies, too, will not have any blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Our resurrection bodies will have, the Holy Spirit will do in our bodies what the blood does now in our natural old body, old flesh. But when we have a resurrection body, when we're raised from the dead, the Holy Spirit will do that work for us. Don't be afraid to preach the truth, the Word of God, and expose the false teachers, false teaching. Don't be afraid. Teach people that if they call on the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be saved. Teach them to trust Jesus and ask Jesus to wash them with His blood. But don't be afraid. Fear thou not. Fear thou not, Isaiah 51:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee. I will help thee. So don't be afraid to preach the true word of God and expose the false teachers of the false teachings, no matter who they are. The false teaching of the false teachers. No matter who they are. Don't be afraid. God will take care of you. God will protect you. Just seek first the kingdom of God. Just deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus. Just pray for laborers. If the Lord calls you to take the gospel to people who hate you and people who've never heard, just go. Let your light shine. Don't be afraid of anybody. God will protect you. And when you go as a soul winner, you just follow Jesus. And Jesus will make you a fisher of men. Jesus invites us to follow Him and to be with Him and to experience His life and to have fellowship with Him and be a part of that special circle. The closer we are to Jesus, the more we become like Jesus. He'll make us fishers of men if we follow Him. Get close to Him. And you'll be able to tell people the gospel. And not only tell them, you'll be able to catch them. You'll be able to lead them to Christ. It's Jesus who makes us fishers of men. Matthew 4:19. And it's Philippians 2:13. For it's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Jesus works in us to make us soul winners. Make us missionaries. The Holy Ghost also makes us witnesses. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. All we have to do is follow Jesus. They toiled all night and took nothing, but when they followed Jesus, they got a great multitude of fish. And by this lesson, Jesus showed them that His power is enough. And He told them they would catch men, which was a greater work than catching fish. If we follow Jesus, we can be successful soul winners. Soul winning is important. Did Jesus do personal soul winning? Did He talk to Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John? Personal soul winning? Did He talk to the woman at Samaria in John chapter 4? He did, didn't He? Personal soul winning. What about Jesus' disciples? What about Philip, an Ethiopian eunuch? And they were driving along in the carriage, and Philip preached to him Jesus, didn't he? One man. And the horse that was pulling the carriage. So, Jesus' disciples were personal soul winners. What about Paul and Silas, the Philippian jailer, at night? They were singing, praying. And the Philippian jailer, what did he want to know? What must I do to what? Be saved. And Philip, Paul and Silas told him, didn't they? Yes, they told him. They told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they told him and explained it thoroughly, too. So, Jesus wants us to be soul winners. He was a soul winner. His disciples were soul winners. And it is a supreme business. It is our supreme business of every Christian to be a soul winner. God could have sent angels down. He could have sent angels down to preach, tell the gospel to everybody. He didn't. Who did he tell to do it? Told us, didn't he? Told us Christians. Soul winning is committed. Jesus committed that great task to believers, to us. He commands us, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain. We're commanded to bring forth fruit. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. That means you're to win souls and help other people accept Christ. Go into all the world. 1 John 4:35-36. Jesus said, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. They're white already to harvest. We need to be concerned. We need to be concerned. Psalm 126 says we need to be concerned. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Psalm 126:5-6. Soul winning is a work that all believers can do. Every one of us can be a soul winner. Every one of us. There's nobody that you can't be a soul winner. Jesus will make you, if you follow him, he'll make you to become fishers of men. And soul winning is something we can do in every place, all places, at all times. Go out into the streets and highways. Compel them to come in. If we love souls, we'll go where they are. Shall we pray? Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Help us to be soul winners, we pray thee. Help me, help each one of us to follow you, Lord, and pray you would make us soul winners. Make us fishers of men, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.